Excuse me. Take your Bibles as you get seated there and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 27. I know Brother Aaron prayed this morning as I preached about who's your one, but the Lord gave me a message about a month and a half ago, and I've just been waiting on the time to preach it, and so this morning I'm going to preach that particular message, but we'll come back to the series of who's your one later. Here in Acts chapter 27, I want to preach this morning a message entitled, Hold On to the Promises. Hold on to the promises. I don't know what kind of week you just came out of. It might have been a great week for you, or it might have been like the week that Hagar the Horrible had. When he was talking with his doctor, and he told his doctor, I have a stomach ache, I have a sore thumb, a bruised knee, a backache, chills, itchy scalp, ringing in my ears, fuzzy vision, night sweats, joint pains, and the blues. To which the doctor responded by saying, you know, there is a lot of that going around. And you know, sometimes we have a time in our life where we think that that's how our life is, and it may be that in this past week, you've come through that kind of a difficult week. And you know, none of us plan, if you would, for difficulties. We plan for the good days, right? This week I'm going to do this, or this week I'm going to take the kids here. And not a one of us ever plan, if you would, for difficulties. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 14 and in verse number 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And that word man there really is a Hebrew word that means mankind. So, ladies, you're not off the hook. All of us experience trouble. Here in Acts chapter 27, we see from chapter 21 up to this point, the Apostle Paul has been a prisoner for a period of 2 years. And he first was a prisoner of the Jewish authorities, and then he was a prisoner of the Roman government. And he himself had appealed unto Caesar. When you come to Acts chapter 27, you find him in the custody of a centurion by the name of Julius. And so this whole chapter is a great, great chapter. And it deals with the idea and the account of how Paul, along with 275 other prisoners, were on this ship and they didn't know if they were going to make it. Except there was one prisoner who was without doubt in his own heart and in his own mind that they would make it. Notice why. Come with me, if you would, to chapter 27 now, and we come to verse number 21. And the Bible says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So in the midst of the storm that the Apostle Paul literally had faced, along with these other prisoners, the Apostle Paul was able to make a bold statement of faith. And church, he held on to that promise of God given to him in the midst of this storm. And he held on to that promise and was able to come through safely on the other side. And the challenge to you this morning in this message is this, is that you may be going through some storms in your life right now, and you need to hold on to the promises of God. Because those will be what will carry you through the storm that you're encountering, the difficulty that you're encountering. I realize this morning, not everybody in this past week went through a storm. You didn't go through a difficulty, and praise God for that. But you know as well as I do this morning that there will come times in your life when you're going to need a message like this, when you're going to need to hold on to the promises of God, just as Paul did in the midst of his storm. And so notice with me, if you would, in the first 19 verses, we see that you need to hold on to the promises of God in the time of the storm. You'll notice with me, beginning at verse number 1 of the chapter, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band." And you read on down through here, through verse number 8, and you'll find that it isn't very long that they encounter some contrary winds. Contrary winds that bring disturbances. And there will come times in our life that we will encounter the contrary winds into our life that just unsettle us, that greatly disturb us. And so here in this context of Scripture, you see this in this first 8 verses. Then beginning at verse number 9 through verse number 13, you see that there were some calm winds that would bring some deception. This was now the time when Paul had said, "Sirs, this is not a good thing to move forward." Look with me, if you would, at verse number 9. He says, "Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives.' Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." And sure enough, wouldn't you know it, they did experience some calm wind. And sometimes the calm winds can come into our life right before a storm. I remember years ago, it was on a Sunday morning, as we were getting ready for our service here. And as we were home, I woke up and it just looked kind of eerie out. It was kind of real calm kind of weather. But it looked like there's probably a storm on the horizon. Well, I'm in the bathroom getting ready and for the day, and I come out, and that quickly my wife says, "Hurry, everybody downstairs." When my wife tells me downstairs, you want to know what I do? I almost want to go outside and just watch what's going on. But she looks at storms a little bit differently than I do. She thinks best place to go is the basement. But anyway, maybe one of these days that'll save my life. But I remember her getting, I think Amanda was still in bed, girls really weren't stirring around. And so she just grabbed them out of bed and got them downstairs. Well, sure enough, it was a good thing we did go downstairs. We had a tree to the east of our house that fell away from our house. We had another huge tree in the backyard of the house, but was close to the house, and it fell a different direction. And so I saw the hand of God in all of that. It wasn't a tornado, but it was severe straight-line winds. And I don't believe we ended up having church that day because we lost power here and so forth. But I'll never forget that, how eerie it looked. There was not a bit of wind. And at kind of first glance, I thought, okay, no big deal. But it was a big deal. And the severe winds had come through. It had taken my neighbor's shed and blown it over into my yard. It was a pretty severe storm. And so I think about how at times in our life, things can be going along real calm and things will be going along real well, and then we may not get the best of news, or then we may enter into some kind of great difficulty in our life. Things smooth, but then the storm hits. But then I come to verse number 14 and I see that there are these catastrophic winds that bring destruction. Notice with me, if you would, verse 14. "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clada, we had much work to come by the boat. which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And so here we see in this context that here is this catastrophic wind that had come up. Paul had just told them, though the centurion didn't listen, though he listened to the master of the ship, we find that Paul had said, this is not a good thing to go on this voyage. And they experienced this great tempestuous wind in verse number 14. And so we see that in times like this, it is important to hold on to the promises in the time of the storm that comes your way. But notice with me, if you would, in verse number 20. You need to hold on to the promises of God when it is dark. Look at verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You see, it is very natural how God has it set up, but oftentimes when a storm comes in, you can have a nice sunshiny day right now, and then pretty soon the clouds, those storm clouds will come in, and things will get dark, and sometimes eerily dark. And we find that it is in that time that Paul and these prisoners find themselves. There is no sun, there is no stars for many days that had not appeared. They then, Paul himself, had to hold on to the promise that there will be no loss of life in this storm. There will be no loss, no matter what you encounter, there'll be no loss. But we find in verse number 20, it says, all hope that we should be taken, that we should be saved was then taken away. And you know, sometimes we have to hold on to the promises when it's the darkest in our life. I love the song and I love the words. God sees the storm from the other side. He knows the lessons learned, and just beyond the clouds, He sees clear skies. He speaks peace to the raging storm when peace cannot be found. He already sees the rainbow when we see only clouds. And when we are in the midst of the difficulty, when we are in the midst of the great trying time in our life, and all we see is, if you would, the clouds, aren't you glad this morning that God sees the storm from the other side? He already sees the rainbow when all we see is the clouds. The Apostle Paul, as you'll continue to notice here, he was a man who held on to the promises, even though the stars were not shining, even though the sun was not shining. Here was a man that held on to the promises, and it got him through. But then notice with me, if you would, at verse number 27. We see in this context that you have to hold on to the promises of God in spite of unbelief. Look at this now, verse 27. Start there with me, would you? But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, we, about the midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. So what you see, first of all, in this is that Paul was hanging on to the promises in spite of unbelief. The soldiers were in a spirit of panic. They were fearing. They could hear, if you would, as sailors can, that they knew some rocks were ahead or some land was ahead. And so here's what we're going to do. They begin to unload some things and so forth. And Paul says, hold it. Don't you dare get off the ship. If you get off the ship, there will be loss of life, he says, but you've got to abide in the ship so that you can be saved. And so you see that these sailors are panicking. But notice now, if you would, verse number 30, Paul's further response when he said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. How could he say that? He was holding on to the promise. Next verse. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when they had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship, 216 souls. That's 276 souls. Paul himself, church, in spite of the unbelief of others, Paul is displaying a great peace. He says, I want you, if you would, to realize that you need to take some meat. There's not going to be one hair that falls from your head. We're going to be all right. I know we've been through some dark days. I know we've been through some fierce storms and through some fierce difficulties, but hang on. We are going to make it. Hold on to the promise. And that's what he was doing. And you know, sometimes there is that spirit of unbelief that comes into our life. Yes, believe it or not, even in the midst of the difficulty, even in the midst of the heartache, even in the midst where we are just really wondering, where is God in all of this? And sometimes in the midst of the storm, we can also experience unbelief, where sometimes you may doubt God's presence and you look up to heaven and say, God, where are you in this? And God says, I've told you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes you may doubt the power of God in the midst of your storm and you cry out, God, can you do something? And he responds, is anything too hard for the Lord? Sometimes in the midst of your storm, you may doubt his purpose and you may cry out and say, God, what is your plan? What in the world are you doing? You may even ask that infamous question, why? And he says, as for God, his way is perfect. Sometimes you may doubt his peace. Sometimes you're just full of great anxiety and your stomach hurts and your body just aches and you're wondering, God, again, what are you doing? I don't have peace. But that's when he says to you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, church, what God is saying to us, when it's the darkest in our life and when we are hit with even a spirit of unbelief, when the difficulty comes, he's saying to us, hold on to my promises. Hold on to my promises. That's what Paul did. Now notice, if you would, as we continue to work through the chapter, we come to verse number 40. And we see that we are to hold on to the promises because God will come through. Let me say that again. Hold on to the promises because God will come through. Let me say it another way. Hold on to the promises because God will come through. That's exactly what Paul believed. Now notice with me, if you would, verse number 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves under the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped. What's the next word, church? All safe to land. He, that is God, will bring you safely through to the other side. That is exactly what Paul and these prisoners, though I'm not saying they had that faith in God, but Paul definitely had this faith in God, and Paul was able to see God bring him safely through to the other side. Corrie ten Boom wrote this: when Jesus takes your hand, he keeps you tight. When Jesus keeps you tight, he leads you through your whole life. When Jesus leads you through your life, he brings you safely home. He will bring you safely to the other side. Here in this context of Scripture, we find, as we go back to Paul's great profession of faith, back to verse 24, notice with me if you would, I want you to notice some things here. That God had guarded Paul from the storm. Look at this. Saying, fear not, Paul. Now, by this, I don't mean that he didn't encounter the storm. But Paul, if you would, was able, and I realize the man was human like we are human. But here, he is given the charge, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Paul. There'll be no loss of life. You are not going to lose your life. Paul, fear not. Do not be afraid. Now, I don't know if Paul could swim or not. But I know if that command was given to me, I would have trouble believing it. Because I can't swim. I'll never forget years ago going out on a fishing excursion. And it was nice and calm in the harbor area, but once we got out onto the main lake, the huge storm had come up through the night, and the waves, though the storm had passed, a lot of wind we had encountered, and that boat was just up and down like this, and I could care less about swimming. All I'm thinking about is holding on to that boat for dear life. And I don't think we did fish. I think we headed back to the shore, and I was never so relieved. But here Paul was told, fear not. Don't be afraid. In fact, you'll find in verse number 25 where he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. God gladdened Paul in the storm. I remember that chorus, with Christ in the vessel, I can what? I could smile at the storm because Christ is in the vessel. And Paul is able to be gladdened. If you would, it's like, man, this guy's some strange dude. Here he is. He's singing in the storm. He's saying, be of good cheer, men. There's not going to be any loss of life, for I believe God. God had gladdened Paul in the storm. And I stand before you this morning and tell you that sometimes when you're in the storms of life, no matter what they may be, it is not always easy to sing, is it? It's not always easy to have the smile on your face and like, boy, I'm going to make it. But yet, Paul was able to have a certain note of joy in his spirit because he knew that God was in control and that God would bring him through. God gladdened him in the storm. But notice then also, God had guided him through the storm. Because in verse number 24 it says, "And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Thou must be brought before Caesar." That was the whole purpose. God had a purpose. God had a plan in all of this. That Paul would go to Rome and preach the gospel, and all hell couldn't stop it. No matter what came up, God had a purpose. God had a plan. And may I say that when you encounter a storm in your life, for some of you, this is a reminder. For some of you, this might be something that you haven't really heard. And that is this, that God has a purpose and a plan in the storm. Do you believe that? He has a purpose. He has a plan. Sometimes we're able to see what that purpose and plan is right away. Sometimes we might have to wait a little while, but nonetheless, he has a purpose, he has a plan in it all. And Paul says, you know, I'm just going to take God at his word. And if you would, I'm going to smile at the storm. Because God said, I'm going to go and stand before Caesar. And I'm going to have opportunity, even as a prisoner, to witness and testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Because that's what God promised. Church, someone has said that in this book, this precious book, this holy, infallible book, Genesis to Revelation, there are 32,000 promises. That be the case, I know, when you come up against the storm, you'll be able to find one of those 32,000 promises that you can hold on to carry you through no matter what. Do you believe that? Do you really believe in your heart of hearts that you can hang on to the promises of God? I don't say this just because I'm your pastor and preacher, but I believe it. I have experienced it. I have held on to those promises. And I will continue to hold on to the promises that when the storms crash in around my soul, my God is in control. And I can hold on to the promise no matter what. There's a songwriter who is now with the Lord, but it's a great old song that he wrote. Mosey Lister was his name, and he wrote the words, "In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by." May I tell you that your heavenly Father today will not only keep you safe till the storm passes by, he will bring you to the other side. As you hold on to the promises of God. Would you pray with me, please? Now, Father, I believe this morning your promises. I believe you. As Paul made his own profession of faith when he said, "For I believe God." And Father, I know that this morning there are those in this congregation who are encountering storms in their life, difficulties, trials. It's nothing new. It comes to all of us from time to time. But Father, as these are encountering their storms, may they use this message this morning as a means of encouragement to hold on to your promises when the way may be dark to them, when the storm may be at its fiercest. Help them to hold on to your promises. When they're weak in faith, help them to hold on to the promises. Because your promises, your word declares to us, are yea and amen. You never break your promise. You always keep your word. So in the storms of life, help us. Oh, help us to hold on to the promises. And Father, I pray this morning that people will be able to leave here in victory. They may have walked through the doors discouraged. How I trust that they'll be able to leave encouraged, holding on to the promises. Help them, I pray. In Jesus' name, not their heads bowed. Will you today hold on to the promises of God in the midst of your storm? God hasn't forsaken you. God hasn't left you alone. You may feel that way, but He is present in your life. And He is in control. So will you today take Him at His word and hold on to the promises? He will see you to the other side. It may be today that there are some of you that just need to come and cry out for strength because you're weak. Don't think yourself uncommon. We can get that way when we go through the storms, when we're weak, but He is strong. Come and cry out and say, Lord, I need strength. For He promised that we can do all things through Christ. Today, maybe you need to come and you need to pray for peace in the midst of your storm. Your soul is so unsettled. Your spirit is one of unrest. Today, before you leave, won't you come and take some time and pray and allow the peace of God that passeth all understanding to settle in your heart. In just a moment, we'll stand and Tina will begin to play through. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. That is the challenge this morning. Don't leave here carrying your heavy load. Bring it to the Lord. Cast it on Him and walk out of here today holding on to the promises of God. Won't you do that today? And now, Father, commit the balance of this invitation to You. Help people to be responsive now. In Jesus' name, amen.